Again, let me say what a joy it is to be present. And I want to tell our brother, Sandy, how much I personally enjoy his message, particularly coming from a younger believer. Those things that he has been speaking of have been the burden of my own heart for the last several years. Assemblies, members of assemblies, going hither and yon, here and there. Oh, I would urge you young people, if you are in an assembly, stay where God has put you. It is true that everybody else's grass looks greener. That's an old story, isn't it? Until you get there. I remember several years ago, in the island of Jamaica, we were in the place called Maypen. It was a Wednesday, there were no meetings, and the brother said, Brother Turner, we'll go on a picnic today. We went on the picnic, sat beneath some lovely trees, across from a body of water, had a nice time. And I said, Brother Turner, tell me, what is that place over there? And he said, I don't remember the name. But I said, can we go over there? He said, why, sure. And he drove and we rode. You know the rest of the story, don't you? We rode and rode, and finally he stopped. And I looked around and said, well, Brother Turner, why have you stopped here? He said, this is the place where you wanted to come. And I looked across and saw a most beautiful scene. You know the rest? Brother Turner, what is that place? That's where you came from. Stay where God has put you. Those folks on the outside pretend to be happier and to have more. Buy the truth, but don't sell it. Hold on to the truth, and please, beloved, especially the young, don't exchange it for anything else. Keep with the truth. Several years ago, sister came to me. I was then in a responsible position at an assembly in New York, and said to me, I'm leaving the assembly. I said, why, what's the trouble? Well, the folks here are this and they're that, and they don't do this and they're not friendly. All sorts of excuses. I said, well, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to a fine place, a good place. It's a wonderful assembly. I said, sister, the minute you put foot in there, it'll cease to be wonderful. Other places may look nice, but don't be deceived. Stay where God has put you. Stay where the truth is. It was a pleasure to hear our brother. And now for our subject of the afternoon, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Mention has been made of these verses several times during our coming together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you're very well familiar with it, I'm sure. Starting at verse 18. This scripture has always had special appeal for me, having devoted much of my life to the study of the human body. I like this section of the Word of God. It's so real and so vivid. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. If there were all one member, where were the body? But now are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. One member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are body of Christ, and members in particular. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet honestly the greater gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. May the Lord bless to us the reading of His Word, our text. One word found in verse 28. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps. Helps. And that's our subject for this afternoon. And may I say this, in the world you find that there are different levels of learning and different standards for teaching and different standards at which they set children. I recall many years ago when our children were young, they sent out a notice for the parents of the exceptionally gifted child to come to a certain meeting. We did not go. Our children were not exceptionally gifted. You know, that's two things. They're gifted and they're exceptionally gifted. But in the family of God, every believer is gifted. I don't hear any response. Every believer is gifted. We've been hearing that. Every believer has a gift. And we want to speak this afternoon on the matter of helps. Now, most of us don't like to be in the position of just helping. We want to be at the top. We want to do as Naaman was told, if you were asked to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it? And I dare say Naaman must have said yes. But how many of us can do some great thing? I often think of the great violinist, Itzhak Perlman. You must have heard it, many of you have heard it. It's a joy to listen and to see him. How a man takes four fingers and does what he does, and a bow in the other hand, I don't know. But suppose the Lord had said to me, Arthur Garns, until you play the violin the way he does, you can't get to heaven. I'd never get there. Aren't you glad it's easy? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we like great things. And when we think of our children, we think of them in terms of something great. How many of us have children and pray for them that they will go out on the mission field? Don't raise your hands. There aren't too many. But we do have parents. I want my son to be an engineer. I want him to be a lawyer. Some big person. We think in terms of the big things. There is what is known as the prosperity cult. More, more, more. It's a false cult, of course. God does want his people to be prosperous, but he wants them to be spiritually prosperous. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. We set our mind too much on things, and that is creeping in among us as believers. But beloved, it's the little things that make the difference. Now you take NASA. From time to time, they are sending ships up into space. Often they can't go off into space because the weather doesn't permit. But many times the weather permits and the ships still don't go off. Some small item interfering with the whole thing. The importance of little things. You remember the old fable, the lion and the mouse? How does it go? Yes, let me see. Almost with that. The lion was resting. And of all the rude things to do when a lion is resting, a mouse came and went over his paw. And he caught the mouse onto his large paw. And the mouse said, oh, please let me go this time. Maybe I'll help you someday. Well, the lion said, imagine you helping me. You're not very much to eat, so go about your business. It wasn't long after that the lion's paw was caught in a trap. And there was this roaring heard throughout the forest. Animals upset. Why is the lion roaring? And along came little Mr. Mouse. And you know the rest of the story. Mr. Lion, just keep still. Just be quiet, and I will gnaw here and gnaw there, and you'll be free. A little item, but very important. Now, I can tell you from personal experience the importance of the small or the little things, as we call it. It was my responsibility during years of practice to do what we call surgery. And I assure you that I did not work with everyone that they sent to assist me. When you are doing that work, an assistant is most important. And in all areas of life, helping and assisting is most important. How often you find a large piece of machinery, and it ceases to function, not because of some great breakdown, one small screw. Oh, beloved, we are called to be helps. Everyone is called upon to contribute. No work is small. No work is too small for us to do. Work is no disgrace, no matter how small it is. Idleness is the disgrace. And that's the trouble in the United States. We have too many people who won't even work. Work is no disgrace. I remember some time ago, at a certain clinic where I worked, there was a man, Mr. Jones, a very pleasant fellow. But this morning he came in very sad. And I wondered, I asked him, "What's the trouble, Mr. Jones? You're always so pleasant. Why this expression this morning?" And he said to me, "Can you imagine? I told my son to go to work this morning or yesterday morning and get a job. He came and told me he couldn't find a job." I said, "What were you offered?" "Well, I was offered a job cleaning bathrooms, latrines." And the father said, "So what? I didn't take it." The father told me, he said to his son the next morning, "You go out and work, even if you have to clean bathrooms. Work is no disgrace. No matter how small it may seem, how little it may be, it is necessary. And God has equipped every one of us that we can do something no matter how small." What did Milton say? "Those also work who only stand and watch." And you get that, and we'll start turning to scriptures now. In 1 Samuel chapter 30. The importance of little things. The importance of helping. First Samuel, chapter 30. Starting at verse 18. And I might say, beloved, that the turning of those pages to my ears sounds beautiful. It's music. Believers sitting together and turning the pages of the Bible. I dare say that as God looks down, he must be very pleased with this scene. His people together under one roof looking into his word. What could be nicer? Can you think of any place he would prefer to be at this time rather than here? It's wonderful. 1 Samuel chapter 30. First Samuel chapter 30, verse 18. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had also made to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. When David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men, men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart." Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our land. Who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff." Every one of those people was important. And every believer is important in the work of the Lord, as we have been hearing. Some are equipped to go out with the word. Some are equipped to appear before the public. But everyone is needed. Everyone is a help and is needed. Now, with that introduction, we're going to do a very simple thing. We're simply going to look at some Bible characters, some of them not even named. Not outstanding performers, but they were helps, and their contribution was necessary for the whole. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 35. 1:35. Again the next day Jesus stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "Master, where dwellest thou?" I suggest when you go home, find out where the Lord did dwell. Remember he said, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests," and he told them where he dwelt. One of the two which heard John speak, verse 40, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." Now, Peter was a giant. He preached sermons and hundreds, thousands were saved. But what about Andrew? He brought Peter to Jesus. Was that important? Do you think that was important? He wasn't on the platform. He didn't do the preaching, but he did what he could. He brought Peter to Jesus. Later on, after the Lord had spoken to several thousands, they had no food. There was one lad there with his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What did Andrew do? He brought him to Jesus. Not a big job, you say, but look what a mighty thing the Lord did. Beloved, it is not the big things that we do, it's the little things. And if God has given you a service and a work to do, do it with all your heart, no matter how small it may seem. Verse 43. The following day, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip, and saith unto him, "Philip, follow me." Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." He introduced his brother to the Lord. And later on, he tells the Lord that certain Greeks want to speak to him. All he did was introduce people to the Lord. Have you ever introduced anybody to the Lord? That's all he did. His name is not written down in any large volume. But let me ask you something. Who was Tertius? Don't raise your hand. You know if you don't. Who wrote the epistle to the Romans? Now everybody knows that. Right? Yes, Paul. It's not a trick question. No tricks. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Paul wrote the epistle to the Romans. Right. It is said by those who are in a position to know that when it comes to argumentation and debate, the best work on this earth written by anyone was the epistle of Paul to the Romans. Perfect logic. A masterpiece. Now turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Verse 22. Epistle of Paul to the Romans, verse 22 of chapter 16. I, Tertius, wrote this epistle. How about it? He helped. Most of us don't know who he was. And the Bible doesn't tell us anything more about it. But God knew. And child of God, when you do your little bit, God knows. And every little bit is necessary for the whole to work correctly. As I indicated, when NASA sends up those spaceships, it's usually not some big thing that's wrong. It's a little thing here and a little there. Beloved, do your part. Be a helper. Jeremiah chapter 36. This is going to be our trend all the way through until I'm finished. Just looking at believers who were helped. That's all. Since you have allotted me the time, I will use it. But actually, we could stop now. This is the subject. You don't have to be well known. You don't have to be famous. Just help where you are. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1. It came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. Take thee a scroll, a roll of a book, write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations. From the day I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do to them, that they may return every man from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity. Then, I see some of you are looking at me. I suppose that's polite. But for the time, just look at the Bible. See what the Bible says. So you won't go home and say, this brother came from the States and said so and so. As our brother was saying, you'll say, the Bible says so and so. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. Isn't that nice? We always think of Jeremiah and the wonderful things that he wrote. Fine. But he was in prison and bound. He wasn't free to write. Baruch was free. We hardly know who he was. But the Lord knows. Oh, child of God, your part may be small. No matter how small it is, do what God has bid you to do. Do what God has equipped you to do. Be a helper. So often we look at something, we say, or an assembly, things aren't right. Now, if they did so and so and so and so, they'd be better. Well, do it. Half the things that we see that need to be done are the things that God would have us to do. And we're waiting for somebody else to do it. If you can do it, do it. Be a help. Now come down with me, please, to verse 32. intervening verses, you know, how Jehoiakim tore the scroll. Then took Jeremiah another roll, or scroll, and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. I think that was a very nice thing. The Lord told Jeremiah what he wanted him to know, and there was Baruch taking it down in dictation. To me, that's precious. Now, of course, if Jeremiah's handwriting was like mine, there would be good reason to have somebody do the writing. It is often said that there are only two people who can read a physician's handwriting, a good nurse and a pharmacist. That's about the only ones. I don't know what Jeremiah's handwriting was like, but Baruch did the writing. And that's recorded in heaven. He will get credit for it. We don't know much about him. We hardly even know that his name is in the book. But God knows. I say, beloved, serve the Lord. Do what he has given you to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Oh, let's start at verse 16. Thanks be to God. Oh, I hear some pages still turning. I'll wait. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 18. And we have, well, to start at 16. That'll give us better connection. Thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Now, he's mentioned. And our brother mentioned him several times in the course of his presentation. Indeed, he accepted the exhortation, and being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. Now, we have sent with Titus the brother, whose fame is in the gospel. Well, I wonder what his name was. The Lord doesn't say. He just went along with Titus. But I dare say the Lord knows, and this brother will get credit for having gone along with Titus. The small things. It isn't necessary to be well known and highly thought of. Just do what you can. You in your small corner and I in mine. The old Sunday school thing. Verse 19. And not that only, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord. Verse 22. We have sent with them our brother. No name. No name. Again, I say, sometimes we work for the Lord and they say, nobody notices what I do. That's right. The Lord notices. And I have an idea that one day at the judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be a lot of surprises. Many of these men you see on the platform, they're going to be disappointed. When they see some little sister, nobody paid attention to her. They hardly knew her name. And oh, what reward she will get. We had one like that at Grace Gospel Chapel in New York about 2, maybe 3 years ago. She was in the meeting. She came regularly, very nice. But when she died, we learned for the first time what she did. She visited the sick and she shopped for the ill. What she did, it would take 2 or 3 other people to do. Now, when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, how do you think she's going to stand? I think she's going to stand very high. So, beloved, help. Don't be concerned with who sees you. Be concerned with the fact that God sees you. Another thing, Romans chapter 16. Well, there are two things in Romans 16. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, Aquila and Priscilla, let's turn back a little bit to the book of the Acts. chapter 18. A husband and wife team. We hear a lot about teams today. I tell you, one of the most beautiful teams is a husband and wife team, working together for the Lord. And here we have this team. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. Verse 24. Or 18 before we come to 24. 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there a good while, then took leave of his brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Fine. Verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Mighty in the scriptures and eloquent. I sure would like to hear. By the way, the only scriptures that he had were the Old Testament books. He didn't have them. And he was eloquent and mighty. Oh, child of God, are you mighty in the scriptures? Young people, get mighty in the scriptures. Study the word of God. Get to know the word of God. And I tell you one thing, it'll thrill you. It'll thrill you. We come down to verse 24. Certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He was limited in his spiritual knowledge. Now, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Priscilla and Aquila had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more thoroughly. Wasn't that nice? They didn't go up there and say, Paulus, come down, you don't know what you're talking about. Took him in the home. And it said that Priscilla and Aquila, husband and wife, it wasn't a public meeting since she was free to speak. And I tell you, I've known of some sisters that who were really used of the Lord. I think of one. I'll only mention one. I can tell you about three or four. She was an older person. Not at all attractive. Now, you'll excuse me, but it's the truth. No, to look at her, honestly, she was very homely. But I tell you, she had a loving heart, a beautiful disposition. And in the city of Baltimore, they were having tent meetings. And she was walking along, and this man sat on his porch and saw her. He said, oh, here comes one of those people from the tent. I'm going to have some fun with her. Now, the brother told me this himself. And she came up to him. Now, you see, you don't have to be pretty, but you can be nice in your manner. She went up the porch steps and said, young man, you are too fine a looking person to die and go to hell.
How's that for an introduction?
Two hours later, on that same porch, he was on his knees and took Christ to Savior. There's a work for him. You don't have to be on the platform. In the home, Aquila and Priscilla both explained to him the way of God more thoroughly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he had come, helped them much which had believed through grace. He mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, and he only had the Old Testament. Oh, child of God, can you show from the Old Testament that Jesus is the Christ? Apollos did it. And he was led into this better knowledge through a husband and wife. They were helps. Acts chapter 2. Or chapter 20. As I've said, all we are doing are showing those who were used of the Lord in his service without fanfare, without noise, and without any notoriety. They were just helps. Acts chapter 20, verse 4. And there accompanied him. They accompanied him into Asia. So Peter of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus. Tychicus, who was he? Of course, you might ask who were some of these others. But let's just follow through on Tychicus. Ephesians 6 and 21. Only his name is given. Ephesians 6, verse 21. But that you may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Isn't that nice? Isn't that, wouldn't you like to be known that way? A beloved brother and faithful. That's all, that's enough. He was doing his part. Colossians 4, 7 and 8. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. And we don't know what he said. All we know that he was recommended highly by Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Titus 3 and 12. Whom I shall send, or when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto thee. What was Tychicus? A messenger, that's all. But suppose he hadn't delivered the messages. You see how important he was. Not as we think of importance, but as God sees importance. Every one of us is needed and should function with that which God has given us. And let me remind you, God has no ungifted children. Everyone has a gift and everyone can help. Acts chapter 2. Well, I'll tell you what we do. Since you turn to chapter 2, let's turn to chapter 1 first. I've already explained why I call these scriptures wrong at times, so that you understand. Acts chapter 1. Verse 26. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. He was numbered with the 11. Now, some feel that he wasn't really a disciple. Now, turn over to verse 14. Or rather, an apostle. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. He was an apostle. What did he do? Scriptures don't say. Where did he go? Scriptures don't say. But he was an apostle. He helped. I don't know how. It's registered in heaven. And you may be sitting there and saying, I am ignored. No one regards me. No one appreciates me. Just keep working. You know the story of the two frogs? You must have heard of it. Well, these two frogs were in a jar of cream. And one frog said, well, what's the use? I'm going to drown anyhow. So I'll just drown. The other one said, I'm going to kick as long as I can keep. And he kicked and he kicked and he kicked. And this cream became butter and then he jumped out. Don't give up, child of God. cheat at. As long as the Lord gives you the strength, do the work. No matter how little it may be or how it may seem. Now, when we come to the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, we mentioned, or mention has been made of Matthias, James the son of Zebedee. What happened to him? We know a little about Nathanael. James the son of Alphaeus, what did he do? No record. Thaddeus, what did he do? No record. Simon the Zealot, what did he do? But they were all disciples and apostles. The Lord knows what they did. And he knows what you are doing. He knows what I am doing. Acts chapter 13. And I must commend you on the turning of the pages. It sounds like music in my ears. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. These men were prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas. We all know him. Everybody knows, we know about him. The scriptures tell us about him. Simeon that was called Niger. Who was he? Scriptures don't tell us a thing about it, but it says that he was among the apostles and prophets. Lucius of Cyrene, who was he? Manaen, which was brought up with Herod, Tetra, and Saul. Now the only ones of these whose names are given and whom we know, Saul and Barnabas. But the Lord lists the other names, and he named them as prophets to his people. No details given. I'm repeating the same thing over and over, child of God. You may not be appreciated. You may not be even known for what you do. God sees and God knows. God said that they were prophets and teachers. And he listed them there, even though he didn't give any names or any details. Now you know I'm finished. There's nothing more for me to say, is there? However, well, we quote a few scriptures. Luke 12 and 48. To whom much is given, of him much is expected. So, brethren, those of us that get on the platform, be very careful. We read in James that the evaluation of those that are before the public is going to be a very serious matter. I sometimes think that those of the Lord's people who have little gifts, they ought to be glad. Because the Lord will take it easier with them than with those that make the public appearance. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it. Little as it may be. I think it was yesterday morning at the meeting. Brother was saying, we were talking about the dishes and the paper plates were used. I'm a strong advocate. Based on my past, for when I was a little boy, mother and dad had 7 of us. And they assigned chores, you know. Sister's shaking her head, she knows about it. And one of the most miserable chores was this matter of washing dishes after supper. And my brother after me, we couldn't agree. I did them last night. No, you didn't. We took it by the week. We took it by... Nothing worked out. And to this day, I find washing dishes a miserable chore. I often say, I believe I have done enough dishes for this life and the life to come. Well, I'll tell you how to make dishwashing easy. Colossians 3, don't turn to it, 23 and 24. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Wash those dishes as unto the Lord, as if he's going to eat from. It'll make it easier. In the little things, the pleasant things, the unpleasant things. And I like that Sunday school hymn. And you all must have heard it and sung it. Jesus bids us shine in this dark world, you in your small corner, and I in mine. Just shine wherever you are. Don't worry about the next person. A little thing is a little thing. But faithfulness in a little thing is a great thing. I'm going to read just one thing in conclusion. Many of you have heard this, but it shows the importance of those things which are little. For want of a nail. Is that anybody here familiar with that? Well, sure you are. However, I'll read it. Once upon a time, isn't that a nice way to start a story? That's the way we start the stories for our children. Once upon a time, there was a solid, respectable nail, a pillar in his community. He was a horseshoe nail and had a flat head and a sharp point. He had one flaw. He did not like to get involved. Why should I have to leave home and get banged on the head and ridden all over the world? Besides, I'm just one little nail. It won't make any difference if I go or if I don't go. So, it was that when the call went through the shop for a horseshoe nail, he didn't go. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of the horse, the rider was lost. For want of the rider, the battle was lost. For the want of the battle, the kingdom was lost. All from the want of a little horseshoe nail. Hope and love, let's be helped. Let's do what the Lord has given us to do. Work hard with all our might. You may not be recognized by even the elders in the meeting and the other folks in the meeting. Those of you that do sing, I know one dear sister, she has a beautiful voice, but for some reason they never asked her to sing. I said, sister, don't worry about it. The Lord knows your voice, he knows your desire, and he'll reward you accordingly. Now may the Lord bless you, bless us all. It's been a joy to be present with you, and I thank you and the Lord for the opportunity.
I think Brother Garn better stay here and answer the questions that he has for us at this time. Have you any questions?
They're not so far.
No, good. You answered all of them.
Unless.
Is there any questions for Brother Garn?
Thank you. That suggests that I've made myself plain. I understand.
Well, thank you again. Are there any questions for Sandy McGaffrey? We'd like to have you out here by 4 o'clock. It looks like we possibly can do that.